Hey, beautiful people. My name's Taylor, also known as Priceless Tay.
And I'm your co-host, Tania Rosario.
We want to welcome you back to What the
Finance! What's up, you guys? Welcome back to WTF, your favorite money podcast. I'm your co-host, Tania Rosario, and I'm here with Priceless Tay and a special guest. So today, WTF, let's meet Vanessa. Vanessa, can you tell us more about you, where you're from, your age, your occupation, and where our listeners can find you?
Of course. Hello, WTF listeners. This is Vanessa MW. I am the brains behind Wander Onwards, which is a wealth and wanderlust platform. I'm all over the Instagram. That's where you can say hi, Wander Onwards. But I also have a podcast. I have a clubhouse like group that we lead finance talks on. This Friday, we're actually talking about FIRE, financial independence, retire early, and how we're not trying to work until we die. Like, life is too short to do that. So if you're on Clubhouse, come and find us this Friday. In terms of like age and logistics, I am 29. I'm going to be 30 this year. And I currently work in Germany right now in tech as an API consultant. And when I'm not doing that stuff, I am working on Wander Onwards and focusing on all travel and finance related content.
Wow, it's so nice to meet you. You're so young and doing all of these great things. We love that here. You've mentioned Clubhouse, such a great app. If you guys are listeners, if you love podcasting, you're just going to fall in love with this app. So check it out, Clubhouse, and check out Vanessa's room this Friday, which will be tomorrow. Which will be past when you will be listening to this, but make sure you follow Vanessa in case she has more Clubhouse rooms.
So yeah, I do them every Friday, so don't
every
you worry.
Friday. There you go. So what we want to know next about you is your finance story. How'd you get started to be interested in finance or managing and creating money through investing?
So I think like all Americans, my finance journey started with an ungodly amount of debt. I had $110,000 worth of debt in 2016.
Wow.
Yep. Part of it was consumer, about 10,000 of that. And then the rest were student loans. So in the UK, the salaries are much lower than they are in the United States. So I was only making like my first job offer was £22,000 a year. And remember, there are higher taxes outside of America. So the next job was $33,000. And finally, I had a little bit of income to start hitting my debt with. And I was like, okay, let's get smart about this. Let's think about interest rates. How do they work? How does debt grow? What are some refinancing options that I could consider? What is at my disposal? And so once I knocked out the $10,000 worth of consumer debt in 8 months, I like took every job that they would give me. I started getting serious about my student loans, but that was at a much lower interest rate. So I was starting to think as well, like, what else can I do with my money? And that's how I found investing.
Now, how did you learn about all this? Because so many people, they feel uncomfortable asking their friends, family, or parents, and they basically resort to online and social media. Did you learn through traditional schooling within your education? Did you also go the online route, or was it something that you just were brought up with family and just challenging the status quo and started talking about money?
Oh no, my parents didn't teach me anything about money. I come from a Mexican American background. We don't talk about money in that community. And so it was actually my boyfriend, now husband, who is German. If you know anything about Germans, they don't like debt. They would rather lose their arm than go into debt. Even for houses, they try to pay in cash if they can. So I sat him down like hat in hand and I was like, look, I want to marry you. I want us to build a life together. So I have to be upfront and honest with my circumstances and what I'm bringing to the relationship. I have $110,000 worth of debt that I don't even know where to start. Like, do you have any advice? And so we sat down, we made our my first budget, and the conclusion was Vanessa needed more money. So I took all these random jobs. I did anything people would pay me for and that my moral compass could sit with. And that's how I crushed 10K in 8 months. And then it became like an addiction. I just wanted to do more, to pay down more so I could finally be free and live the way that I wanted to live. I will also say that when people tell you that you are poor because it's a decision, those are rich people talking. Those are privileged people talking. I was poor because I was making $33,000 a year or pounds a year taxed at 40%. So it wasn't until I made more money did the and then the pieces started to fall into place.
Question. So
hit me.
In your relationship, that is a pretty big move. And this is actually one of the first times that we were talking about it on the podcast. We don't really talk about relationships and money, but it's something that I think is so relevant and so important. And so how did you bring it up to your partner that you were like, hey, I have $110,000. Like, did you literally sit down? At what point in the relationship were you already dating for like 5 years and then you told him? Was it like, hey, you just met him a few weeks in and you're like, this is the man that I want?
A little bit of both, if you can believe it. So I met Marcus at a beer pong tournament in China when I was supposed to be on a date with another guy.
Oh my God. China.
In China, where I was living for 2 years and he was living for 6 years. So the guy I was supposed to go on a date with, ended up standing me up and like texting me, I'm not coming, with like no answer. So I was like, screw you. I'm at a tournament with a bunch of hot guys. Like, I'm staying by myself. Like, she's funny. She's entertaining. Let's get it. And so then 3 months into our relationship, he told me that he was moving to London and that he wanted me to come with him. And I quit my job. I moved out of my apartment. I left all my friends and I moved with a man I barely knew across the world to London. And then
risky. We
so romantic. It's like, I know, a movie right now.
Thank you. I'm a Cancer. Like, I'm romantic. I have the wanderlust in my title. Like, give me a break. And 2 years into us living together in London, I finally like had the maturity to say, this is a problem I have. I can't do it by myself. And I just brought all the receipts and I was like, please help me. Like, you're the person I love and trust most. I want to be honest with you. So this is a hard conversation for me. I started crying immediately. I remember that very clearly. Mm-hmm. And there was no judgment. There was just like, let's put some numbers down. Let's, figure this out. And we did.
Oh, power couple. That's awesome. Because we're a team on this.
Yes, but it with the caveat, I told him I don't want his money. Like, I got myself in this mess. I want to get myself out of this mess. And I actually have a travel blog that allows me to travel the world for free. And I paid for most of our honeymoon. And I will never let him live that down.
Such independent. I love that for our audience. If you can take something out of this story, it's just communicate with your partner and go get your things for yourself.
You are with the wrong person if you cannot talk about things like death, things like money. It is not sustainable.
Right. Perfect. So moving forward, what's your favorite field of finance? I heard you talk about budgeting. I think you also said on Clubhouse that your subject is mostly investing. So let us know, like, what works your boat?
Yeah. So I actually have a holistic money masterclass called Financial Fluency, which is the 6 pillars of finance that I care most about. Mm-hmm. One, the basics. So what is the economy? Why does it matter? How does it work? Then we move into budgeting, because that is probably what I'm best known for on Pinterest. I have like consistently 100,000 monthly visitors for my budgeting content. And then we move into debt smashing, because, you know, I got opinions about that too. And I even have like an Excel template that's really pretty and pink with graphs that people can purchase. And then we go into investing. And for me, I'm really passionate about FIRE, which is financial independence, retire early. And that just means I'm trying to get enough money into the stock market so it can keep growing and I don't have to work. And I can just go move to Cambodia with my husband and my cat for months at a time, or literally just do what I want, just have options.
So FIRE, is that a concept that you put together? Or is that a concept that's already out there? I've never heard of it, but it seems really cool.
It's well known.
Yeah. I cannot take credit. I will say it does need a little bit of a rebrand, because whenever anyone says, oh, retire early, like what would I possibly do? Mm-hmm. Literally anything. Use your imagination. Come on.
Me too. It's one of my goals to retire by 35.
So I'm do it, girl. What's your plan? Are you investing or what are you going to do?
I want to get in, well, more in stocks, real estate, and owning a business for sure.
Oh yeah.
Different sources of income will get me there. That's all I know.
That's what it's about. I have 9 different sources of income.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to use some fingers, and you can't see it on the podcast, but I will do it. Okay. So I have my full-time job. Mm-hmm. I have 2 different masterclasses. Mm-hmm. I have, it's the Move Abroad Masterclass. Shout out if you want to move abroad, and the Financial Fluency one, if you want to learn the end-to-end information about money. Then I have my Etsy store, which is completely passive income. Then I have ads on my blog. Then I have speaking engagements. Then I have YouTube, which I'm almost monetized, and people actually pay me to make videos for them. Then I have my writing. I've been published on Time, Huffington Post, Business Insider. And then what was my 4th one or my 9th one? Oh, my travel blog. Sorry.
So inspiring, honestly. Congrats.
Well, it took a lot of work. Busted my ass in 2020. Can I say ass on this?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Ass. Perfect. So what's your biggest finance accomplishment then?
Ooh. Other than paying down all that debt by myself, I've paid down $40,000 worth of debt so far. My biggest accomplishment was I invested by myself post-tax money over $25,000 in 2020.
Yes. And was this in a Roth IRA or just regular? Well, it can't be, I guess, if it's only 1 year, but.
Expats, Americans abroad, we cannot use tax-advantaged accounts. So we can't use the 401k unless we're doing a solo 401k with an LLC, mm-hmm. which I am. We can't do a Roth IRA. We can't do a 529. We can't mm-hmm. do a health savings account. These are the liberties we give up as Americans abroad, unfortunately. So this is all in a taxable income or a taxable brokerage.
Okay. And for the listeners listening, what brokerage are you using right now? Because we get so many questions with people internationally. It would be awesome for you to kind of say what brokerage you're at and why.
Yeah. So I'm with Fidelity, go team Fidelity. I love them for their customer service. They have 0 commission trades. They have some of the cheapest index fund expense ratios. So like that's the management fee in the game. And I love that they do fractional shares. So you don't have to buy full shares for $100, $200, $2,000. Like you can put in $50 and you can get a fractional share somewhere. I also recommend Vanguard as an option for anyone based in the United States. They have great index funds. They are more limited with what you can buy. And I believe a lot of them have like an amount that you have to hit in order to invest. So they don't have fractional shares. Are you with Vanguard?
I originally started off with Vanguard. That was my first ever. I bought a mutual fund, I believe, and I had to, it was the minimum initial investment of $3,000.
Damn. Yeah. That's a lot. Was that like your first job out of school or when did you do that?
I've been pretty much working my entire life. So I had a photo booth company back when I was 15, 16 years old, where I would rent out my little photo booth to weddings, sweet 16s, bat mitzvahs, bar mitzvahs, that kind of thing. And I would hire my friends at $20 an hour to man this photo booth. And so it was kind of passive. I also was working on the weekends doing in a catering business as well. So I was serving hors d'oeuvres or appetizers. And then once I turned 18, I managed an industrial uniform rental company and I was doing bartending on the weekends. So I've been like hustling my entire life, you know, like, yes, I had time to hang out with friends and I had a little bit of a social life, back then, but really when I hit college at 17, 18 years old, my social life kind of just disintegrated by how much I was working and going to school.
That's okay. Like, some young people are the worst. I try not to talk to anyone under 25 unless I'm really inspired by them. I'm choking.
I'm 20.
I know, girl. I Googled you. I was also kind of, not that you were, but I was kind of a weird kid in college and high school. I didn't have a lot of friends. I was really into speech and debate. And like, I was like, okay, so focused. I toured all over the country for that. I was a state champion. And that impacted my social life as well. But I also couldn't really relate to what everybody else was doing. Like, they were all being bankrolled by their parents. They all came from old money. I went to Boston College. And so it wasn't until I moved abroad and started meeting people that were in their 30s doing cool stuff when I was 22 that I really started to find my place in the world.
I had a question back to Fidelity, by the way. You guys have both amazing stories. But Fidelity, can anyone in Europe use it just so it's clear? Or is it like because you are in the United States that you can use it?
I have no idea. I won't mind. If you are an American expat abroad and you've already left without opening a Fidelity or Vanguard account, you should go with Charles Schwab International because they're more flexible. Mm-hmm. It's really tough for Americans to hold, or one, you can't open a Vanguard account. Two, for Fidelity, you have to do like some creative situations to get yours open. And Charles Schwab is normally the one to go with.
Okay.
All legal creative situations, by the way.
Yes. Yes. I say creative because, I don't know, I lack vocabulary skills. I spend a lot of time with numbers and technology.
Okay, that's good. So then, what would be your biggest lesson that you learned in finance and that you want to share to your audience?
You guys got to start ASAP with your investing because that's how compound interest really starts to take off. If you invest, I think it was like $333 every month in a low cost index fund for 40 years, you will have over $1.1 million at the end of that with an average interest rate of, I want to say it's 8%. I did a TikTok on this. That's why it's fresh in my mind. Mm-hmm. And so if you have 40 years when you're 20, that's a huge difference than needing 40 years when you're 30. You need to pick up the pace. You need to add more cash. If you start young, you can really make a big difference to the outcome of your future. I would also say everybody should start a side hustle because I work in travel technology. My job has not been secure for like the last 14 months and it's horrifying. It gives me so much anxiety. Mm-hmm. And so that was probably one of the reasons why I went so hard with Wander Onwards because I never knew if I was going to be called to HR the next day or what would happen. So protect yourself, think about yourself in the future. And start early.
These are great.
I love that. Yeah. Side hustle economy, gig economy, passion economy, all things that are on the rise. I 100% believe that everybody needs to work on a personal brand. It is literally digital real estate. And I cannot stress that enough. So anybody who's listening out there today, if you're thinking about just posting yourself or putting yourself more out there on the internet, like Vanessa said, literally get started, just do it. It has been revolutionary in my own life and it's been revolutionary in these two ladies, Tadia and Vanessa too. So we already have three strong, powerful, independent women. What else can you ask for, right?
Absolutely. These are the type of people I vibe with because I don't want to be normal. Like I don't want to be vanilla ice cream. I want to be like mint chocolate chips, spicy cardamom, something.
Are you Elon Musk women? Oh my God. I love that.
There's just too many incredible things to do on this planet. And we've already seen that life is not as long as we think it is. Like life is short. Life is meaningful. Do what you need to do when you want to do it. Because we don't know what's going to happen to us in the next couple years. Like aliens could come 2 years from now and I would have been like, all right, I'm dead, but I'm really, really proud of myself.
Yeah. Girl, you went to China, Germany, London.
I've done everything, girl.
So inspiring. Okay, so we have a little game for you. This or that. So my first question for you, this or that. You've mentioned some stuff about Debs. So now, do you think it's a good idea to take Debs or avoid Debs? This or that.
Take Debs only if there is a monetary result to taking debt. So if you're spending $200,000 on a theater degree, I'm not entirely sure if that is going to pay out in the way that you think it is. If you're taking a $40,000 debt to become an accountant, I say go for it. That's the unfortunate reality we're in as young people. So ensure that what you're doing is going to pay out later on.
Exactly. So I heard like you should take a debt when it's going to be an investment. So business, small business loans, student loans, anything that's going to bring you something in the future. And it's not going to end up just being giving money at the bank for something that has no value, will have no value later. Okay. Thank you. Next question I have for you, this or that, budgeting automatically, like with an app or everything, or budget by hand?
Budget by hand, but with the caveat, use a Google Sheets Excel. So you can create graphs, so you can track trends. I have one on my Etsy store that's super great. It shows you how much money you've spent on Uber for the month, versus like how much you've spent on skincare and rent. And so knowledge is power. When you can start seeing those trends, you can make changes in your behavior. And it captures post-tax income and pre-tax income, which is something that the apps do not. So you can't even track your Roth IRA or your 401k.
I love that. Budgeting with Google Sheet or Excel for me is also like at the top of my list. Okay, I had a last question for you, this or that. So maybe, I don't know, in Germany, if you heard about everything that's been going on last week with GameStop, did you invest or did you pass?
I pass. Like, I do not have the patience for that. I think it's hilarious that we are willing to come together to fight Wall Street, but only when it's convenient for us and only if we could potentially make money for it. If we were to ask people to stay indoors to save people's lives, everyone kicks off and says this is fake news, blah, blah. So I wanted nothing to do with it.
It's so funny. Why does all investing gurus pass? Like I passed. I think Taylor passed, but she has to.
I passed. Yeah, I was on the sidelines. Sidelines.
Yeah,
for
just
this.
Eating popcorn.
Massive learning opportunity. I had like 10 plus interviews just all about it, my thoughts. And to put it, if you guys haven't heard my thoughts, just to put it out there, I think it was revolutionary in that it allowed, and I think I can speak for all of us, the awareness that we've been trying to bring with financial literacy. However, it didn't do it in the best form of way, because now some people can be completely distraught, either whether they lost, whether they won, but also if they won, they're going to be expecting these 100%+ returns now on every single investment in a short amount of time. And it really messes with the psychology of trading and the psychology with investing. So, you know, always progress, but at some point there has to be regression as well too, coming back to the basics of, okay, this is taxable, you know, this is not the safest place, and then progress again into something that hopefully will be more beneficial in wealth and health.
Yep. And shout out to anyone who lost money. You can actually write those losses off on your taxes up to like 3,000 something something. There is a way to kind of reap the benefits of the financial losses that you've made. But also shout out to my earners. Depending on where your income is on the tax brackets, you could pay up to 37% on short-term gains. So just be smart. If you won, do not spend all that money. Uncle Sam wants a piece of it.
Thank you so much, Vanessa. It was a pleasure having you here. Tell us again for our listeners where they can find you and listen to your podcast and have fun with you.
Sure, of course. So you can find me at Wander, WANDER, Onwards on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, the whole lot, Clubhouse. If you are interested in moving abroad, I have a Move Abroad Masterclass that does live classes. We talk about visas, immigrations, how to find a job, how to pay down debt while you're over there. And you can check that out on wanderonwards.co. Do stop by and say hi on my podcast, Wealth and Wanderlust. It's on all major platforms. And I hope you slide into my DMs. I love talking to people, even if they're under 25.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I guess we'll see you on your podcast next.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Super, super beneficial, like having people who also know about financial literacy and can bring value to the table. And just to recap, Vanessa comes from a Mexican-American household where her parents culturally were not growing up talking about money. And so Vanessa's story just goes to show that you can literally travel around the world, make money, pay down so far $40,000 of debt overall with $110,000. Still have some more left to go. But Vanessa's story just goes to show that it is possible doing what you want, living and loving life all while traveling abroad. So thank you, Vanessa, for doing the show. And make sure to check her out at Wanderlust, W-A-N-D-E-R.
Onwards.
Onward. Yeah, sorry. O-N-W-A-R-D-S. Yes.
Yes.
Perfect.
Bye, guys.
Thank you.
See you next Thursday. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to WTF, What the
Finance,
with the one and only
Teddy Rosarian,
and last but not least, Taylor Price. Make sure to receive all of the updates on WTF by texting WTF to 424-226-5797. Message and rates may apply.